playing. What have you done now?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show. Oh, man. I am your host, Brad Gilmore. We got a great episode for you today, but hold on. Hold on one second. Hold on. You know, I've done this for too long to not remember to shut the door. Anywho, welcome to the show today. We got a great show for you today. I had the privilege of sitting down with one half of one of the greatest tag teams of all time, Harlem Heat. I got the chance to sit down with Stevie Ray and on his radio show on KCOH here in Houston, Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray, and myself, the legendary boxing trainer, Ronnie Shields, was also on, and we chopped it up about Triple G and Canelo and also this greatest combat sports spectacle in history, Mayweather-McGregor. We talk about that as well, and Stevie and I get into a heated conversation about it, if you will. And I thought it was a really good conversation, so I wanted to share that with you all today on the show. Also, couple quick plugs. Next weekend, I will be in La La Land. I will be in Los Angeles, California, and on the 24th after WWE No Mercy, Booker T and I will be doing a live edition of Heated Conversations at Lucky Strike Live in Los Angeles. And we have a slew of special guests, including Raw General Manager Kurt Angle, Raw and SmackDown commentator Corey Graves. We also have the great Rob Van Dam, and also announced Goldust, all special guests at our Booker T Live in Hollywood show, which is going to be raising money for hurricane victims. Started out with Hurricane Harvey, now all hurricane victims. And it's supposed to be a great night, and I'm really excited to get out there to Los Angeles, California. Going to hang out with my man Stockzilla while I'm out there. What up, Stocks? And we're going to have a great time. I'm excited right now. Tomorrow's Friday at the time I'm doing this. So Saturday, if you're in the Texas City area, Reality Wrestling's having a free show for everyone to come out to. And we're going to raise some money for hurricane victims there as well. A lot of good stuff that we're working on. So I wanted to drop this podcast with Stevie Ray, Ronnie Shields, and the great KCOH Houston radio legend, Ralph Cooper, all on this show. So this is a different format than maybe you're used to with the Brad Gilmore Show, but it was an hour straight with Stevie Ray. We debate boxing. We talk Mayweather-McGregor. We talk what was Floyd Mayweather's greatest fight. And then Ronnie Shields, Stevie Ray, and I get into Triple G Canelo. So enjoy the show. If you're a boxing fan, you're going to love it. If you're a fight fan, you're going to love it. If you're just a entertainment fan, I think Stevie Ray and I have a very interesting and entertaining conversation. So here we are on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
Ladies and gentlemen, they call me Stevie Ray. I'm usually in the house with three the hard way. But today, I am not because my man has a little trouble. My other man, Little B, I don't know where he's going, but he's not here today. But I got my main man, one of my main men. He always comes off the bench, and he's a pinch hitter. He's a pinch hitter, and he's a field goal kicker. He's a jack of all trades. Mr. Brad Gilmore is in the house with me today. Brad, what is the deal, baby?
What's going on? I'm the sixth man of the year, I guess, Stevie. I'm excited. I'm excited. Three the hard way isn't in full effect.
They're not in the house today.
They're not in the house, but we're going to make it work. I think there's a lot to talk about.
There's a very lot to talk about. You know, Ralph Cooper is here producing the show, as you well know.
Legendary. Man,
do not mess with the lights. Leave the lights on, please. You know, I didn't ask you to mess with anything. I just asked you to get the board going. You know, this is Stevie Ray, Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray.
Hey, man, I'm not going to mess your show up.
92.9
FMH. I'm like Paul Bush. Show me the same respect you show Paul Bush.
I'm trying to do my show, man, if you don't mind. Please. You know, I mean, KCOH, we have to get the word out. I have to say who I work for, but you want to come in and mess that up. Can you give me a second, please? And then I will come to you. Is that okay? Look at him. Why are you messing with that camera? You know, like I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, this is the new KCOH Radio, 713-526-1230. That's if anybody wants to call in and talk to myself or talk to Brad Gilmore, who's the house today doing this thing. And we got a few things to talk about, Brad.
That's what I hear.
You know, I got a bone to pick with you.
I heard that. The word on the street is that you're not pleased.
No. The word on the street is I heard you talking about me on your other radio show.
See?
The radio show with you and my brother.
Yes.
You know.
Your brother Booker T.
Yeah, my brother Booker T. Serious conversation, heated conversation, whatever the situation may be, whatever the conversation may be. But I don't need no
serious conversations. Is your brother Don and I's show, actually.
Don. Okay. Be that as it may, don't be using Steve. You know what? I just told Ralph Cooper.
You did.
When people use my name and they don't use my name in the right light, I'm going to retaliate. I told him that.
Well,
I told two other jabronis in New York the same thing. I told some. Wait a minute, man. What are you doing?
Move over. What's on the camera better? Some of your ladies just called and said they couldn't see you. So there you go. Now you're in good shape. Now go ahead.
What I don't appreciate is when I have a rhythm. When I have a rhythm
you were
going,
in a good
and
groove.
I'm really
out of your way now. You don't have no more excuses.
Well, no. I want to elocute this before you go, so you never do it again. When I am in a rhythm, you wait for me to stop before you ask me to move over and stuff like that. You are killing my rhythm, brother. People want to listen to the rhythm. Can you dig it?
No.
Okay, man.
This is the day Elvis Presley met Lisa Presley years ago.
This is the day. How would you know that? How would you know? That was 1955. Nobody knows exactly what day they met. They might have just told the public what day they met on. You don't know. They could have been in a barn for 2 or 3 weeks before things went down. She was only 12 years old at the time. A man should have been locked. He should have been locked up. You know.
I thought she was 16.
You thought. Like I said, how long was he in the Army? 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Wouldn't he drop her off at school?
Yeah, he'd pick her up also. in a green Jeep.
And the parents knew.
Of course they knew it. What are you going to say, no?
the father was a commander, a captain.
Yeah.
I mean, you succumb to this? You succumb to celebrityism? This guy shouldn't be in the Army.
He was the biggest celebrity in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this guy shouldn't be in the Army. He should have had his stripes ripped off his arm.
How's this thing going?
He
didn't dodge. You know, he went in. He did what he had to do.
I'm talking about the commander, the daughter of Lisa Marie Presley.
I thought you were talking
that
about...
man should have had his stripes ripped off his arm like Chuck Connors on the TV show Branded. That's what should have happened. That's what I'm talking about. Your daughter. If a 22-year-old man, a 21-year-old man comes to my house and my daughter's 12, 13 years old, and this old bag of guts, you know, comes knocking on my door and say, can I date your daughter? You know what I'm going to do?
What you going to do?
Have you ever seen a scene in a cowboy movie or a saloon and the door breaks open and a guy comes flying out of the saloon? Somebody just grabbed him by the back of his britches and the top of his shirt, and the only words that you hear is, and stay out. That's what would have happened to him. That's what would have happened.
Even if he was the biggest celebrity in the world?
I could care less who he is.
Okay.
You see this hand? You
it's
know
big,
what this hand can
hand.
Do?
I
put this hand around throats.
And what do? You
and
put
I
the...
put the squeeze.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear the squeeze? Did you feel the squeeze?
Do you
see the defecation? Did you hear the defecation? That is what happens. I'm telling you that right now, Gilmore. That's what happens. Yes.
I believe it. I believe it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want it to squeeze on me.
Oh, well, I'm just saying.
And to be all honest with you, to go back to your original point, I don't know what was even said that you're so perturbed about, to be quite frank.
Well, but I don't know either. I lost track. I lost track because that's what Ralph Cooper does. He comes in and does things and make me lose track and make me lose my train of thought.
I think all I said was I'd be interested to hear your analysis of the greatest combat sports fight of all time, Mayweather-McGregor.
Okay. Let me calm down. Facebook listeners, I am sorry, but sometimes these guys in here make me lose it. They make me lose my composure. And one thing that I rely on is my composure because I'm always cool under fire. Let's get back to the situation at hand. One reason I had Brad Gilmore in the house today is because he was the main one. The last time he visited the KCOH studios.
Mm-hmm.
92.9 FM HD2 for anybody out there that's not listening. Go check it out. Stream it. Download the app so you can hear some of the greatest radio in this city. And I vouch for that because as far as I'm concerned, this is the hottest show in Houston. But be that as it may, Mr. Gilmore.
Last time you were here,
yeah, uh-huh. you made some comments about Conor McGregor.
I might have, yeah.
About Conor McGregor being this great boxer. I know it's been a couple of weeks now. Yeah. Haven't had a chance to get with you and go over some of these situations here.
Yeah.
But hey, man, after looking at that, and who was that just, I was just listening to Oscar De La Hoya on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, I saw the same interview.
And I'm going to tell you a word that he used.
Talk about it.
And the word that he used auspiciously was the exact same word that I've been using since this fight was put together. You know what that word was? Ralph, what? Do you know what that word was? No. Farce. This fight is a farce.
That's what you
that
said.
That fight was a farce. That is exactly what I've been saying.
So let me say this. Yes.
You don't think he copied you, did you?
I think he did.
I don't think Oscar would do that.
I think it, you know, I, Ralph. I think
honorable Oscar, man of integrity.
I can't see anybody else coming up with that word for this fight, other than myself. And I said it. I said it weeks before he said it.
You said it as soon as it was announced.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you did.
I'll give you that credit.
You know, my videos are out there. My videos are traveling all over the world right now. You know, they're getting 20, 30, 40, 50,000 hits a day. You know, that's what I'm doing. And I'm quite sure Oscar has a phone. He has a computer. You know, who knows what kind of disturbing things this man watches on video, because we saw him in the stockings and leotards, things of that nature. Who knows what he's watching?
It's the second time today I've heard that.
Well, I'm just saying.
But I love Oscar. The man was a great champion.
He was a great champion.
Most of the people
who stepped in the ring, who knows what people do in their spare time?
Most of the people who stepped in the ring with him, if they had said that about him, guess what would happen? He'd have killed him.
Well, be that as it may, he admitted it himself. He admitted it himself on The Breakfast Club. He said he was in a different time then. He's in a different space then. But be that as it may, I'm not holding it against him. I'm just saying this is probably how he came across, Stevie Ray saying what he's saying in videos that I got all over the world right now, that I got all over social media, and people are listening to me. They're making comments.
Is it true what I heard earlier today? That Serena's little child is already talking, and the first thing out of his mouth was Stevie. Gilmore, help me.
No. Is it true the baby said your name?
Possibly.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But be that as it may, this is what Oscar De La Hoya said.
Yes, it's what he said. You know, I heard it.
And if anybody out there that watched that fight and really thought they were looking at a real competition, because that was my main word. I even had people on social media saying, oh, Stevie Ray don't know what he's talking about. They can fight if they want to. He can't tell me not to watch the fight. I never told anybody not to watch the fight. I just said, know what you're watching.
Yeah.
Because O'Ray Dog knows. O'Ray Dog was in the gimmick game. Ray Dog was in the setup game. Ray Dog was in the entertainment game. And that's what you got. But nobody wanted to believe me. So when everybody went and betted on McGregor, and once they seen what was really up, now hopefully, do you honestly believe Floyd Mayweather actually took this guy serious? Really?
Well, whether he took him serious or not.
Wait a minute. Answer the question, please.
I was about to ask. I mean,
No.
Do I think he took him seriously? Yes, he did.
Okay, I will debate that in a second.
You know why I think he took him seriously?
I don't know why, but I'm curious to know why.
I'll tell you why I think that. Because he thought in the back of his mind, look, I'll probably beat Conor McGregor.
I'll probably
beat him pretty handily. I'm pretty confident in myself. I am undefeated. I am 49-0. But I'm going to take him seriously because if I don't, I could be 49-1, and I don't want that to happen. So even if it was 10% of his normal seriousness, he took Conor seriously.
If it's a percentage from 1 to 100, Conor McGregor didn't even get a 1.
Yeah, he got a 1.
No. He got a point.
And you know what?
It was .3, if anything.
It was a great combat sports spectacle.
It was exactly what I said it was going to be.
And it was entertaining. It wasn't a farce. Because if it's a farce, people aren't really getting hit.
Let me enlighten you on what a farce is.
So tell me the definition. What does Merriam-Webster say?
Yes.
Tell me.
I'm glad you asked that question. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, it's make believe.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's not as it seems. In essence, this was not combat. When have you ever seen Floyd Mayweather laugh between each round, look at the camera and laugh, look at, push Conor in the back like we're really having a fight, walk forward with his hands up. Conor McGregor hit this man with an uppercut and Floyd Mayweather walked through it. You know why? His feet were so far apart, he got no leverage on the punt. He's fighting like a karate guy.
He put no power behind his punches.
He looked like a 15-year-old girl that just got let off the bus and having a fight with another little 15-year-old chick.
If Conor McGregor fought was how a 15-year-old girl fights, I would get my butt kicked every single day at the schoolyard.
You probably would.
Because he was fighting. He was fighting pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He landed more punches on Floyd Mayweather than the last nine opponents of Floyd Mayweather Jr.
And why do you think that is?
Because he hit him more times.
That's a fact.
That's a fact, Stevie Ray. 111 times.
Why
hit him more times in 10 rounds than Pacquiao could in 12.
Why do you think that is?
Because Floyd came at him, and Conor swung at him.
And those punches never hurt. Did you see Floyd Mayweather's face?
He looked great. He looked great.
Did you see Conor McGregor's face?
He looked okay.
He looked like a hand grenade had exploded beside him as he was walking down the street. Did you see the black eye?
Yeah, they were punching each other in the face a week later,
and he still got a black eye.
Well, have you ever had brain damage? Have you ever been?
And he only got hit with five punches in the whole round, and he got brain damage.
Have you ever been in a car accident, Stevie Ray?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, I have. I've been in a couple fender benders. Hope to not get another one. Sometimes it doesn't hurt so bad that first day. 3-4 days later, your back starts aching, right?
Exactly.
And that's what happened.
Oh, I can understand that.
So he got a black eye. He got a black eye because he got punched in the face.
Exactly.
That happens to people when they get punched in the face.
And then
he gets knocked out
by a man who's He got knocked out by a man who hasn't knocked anyone out since 1999. Almost 20 years ago.
He didn't get knocked out.
Oh, you don't call it knocked out?
No, it's called a TKO, first off.
Same thing.
That's only because
the referee got there before...
And stopped the fight early.
Before Life Flight did.
No, the referee got there before the helicopter was coming.
Conor McGregor took more damage. On top of the building, they had two ambulances.
Yeah, that's if Floyd broke his hands and knees.
They had two ambulances in the back of the building just in case one battery went down and wasn't going to start. That's what happened.
Conor took more damage in that second Nate fight than he took from Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, because
Floyd Mayweather was hitting him with pillows.
Brother, put it like this. If you honestly think, going by your analogy, that means if you add up the boxers that Floyd fought, Pacquiao, all these other guys.
Madonna. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Madonna twice.
Berto.
That means... Conor McGregor get in the ring with them and beat them easily.
I think, you know who I think he could beat off top? I think he could beat Paulie Malignaggi, no question about it.
I tell you right now,
I'll put money on it.
Oh, yeah, we will put money on it.
I'll put real money on it. I'm going to make sure I put it in a safe deposit box. We'll set up a CD.
So you won't be able to get to it. That's what I'm going to do.
We'll put it in escrow, Stevie Ray.
Yes, we will.
And if that fight comes off,
I'm telling you right now, he gets knocked out twice.
You'll be the first call. Knockout pay double guarantee. Okay, I'll shake
knockout
on that.
Pay double.
Okay, agreed.
Cool.
But yeah,
cool.
Agreed.
I hope that happens.
Because Conor McGregor looked like he could fight.
That one I want to happen. That one I really want to happen. I really want to see that.
Well, you know what I mean?
Because this guy ain't gonna be playing with him.
Conor McGregor's not gonna be playing with him. Now that Floyd Mayweather's retired, Conor McGregor's one of the top three boxers in the world as far as star power goes.
Star power is easy.
Yeah.
Wait, is it all media? That's all media.
Is it?
If you got the hype machine behind you, somebody has to pay for all the television time.
Someone's paying for the time, obviously.
Yeah,
but I'm saying
exactly.
Conor's personality and his ability.
I promise you this. If he does another fight with anybody else, nobody will really want to buy it because they've seen this.
No, you know what? Most people I saw from that fight, this is how they said it. They said, you know what?
They don't know what they're looking at.
The result was what it was, and we kind of expected it. But Conor, hey, he did good for himself.
No, he didn't. He did good for people that don't know what they're looking at.
No, I think he did good for himself.
Let me ask you something. There were two fights before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
With the Bottle Jack and Deontay, forgot his last name. Did you see those guys fight?
You know what? I didn't see them fight. I'll tell you why. I was actually leaving your brother's house in the middle of a hurricane going back home to try to catch a live stream.
Okay.
So I didn't see it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, but They didn't show it on the when they showed the replay. They just showed the main event.
Yeah.
But what I tried to explain to people is this: if you saw those two fights, and those were a couple of them were undefeated. Deontay, they both fought guys that was undefeated. This was real pugilism. If you take those guys and then you put that main event beside them, you could see these are amateurs against real pros. You could see the difference. That was real boxers because they had something to lose. Floyd Mayweather had nothing to lose. He knew the guy couldn't hurt him because he doesn't know how to throw a punch. That's why he never hurt him. How can you hit a man 110 times and never hurt him?
What do you mean? What do you mean that he didn't know how to throw a punch? That uppercut looked pretty good to me.
It never hurt him.
It didn't
hurt
him. He
walked right through it. He's used to that.
And I'll be honest with you, Conor wasn't putting a lot of weight behind these punches.
He
fights like a girl.
He fights like a 10-year-old girl.
He's the first ever two weight division champion in UFC history.
Well, I ain't talking UFC. I'm talking boxing. When he has a UFC fight, you can come back in and talk about that. You know, but as far as boxing, they pulled it off. I give them credit. They pulled it off. But if anybody think Conor McGregor is a legitimate boxer against a real boxer, no way. And I wish they put him in.
Let me ask you this.
Canelo Alvarez had been Floyd Mayweather that night.
He wouldn't have won one round.
You're going to see the difference between real boxing and fake boxing this weekend when Triple G hooks it up with Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, I think that's going to be a phenomenal fight. This is the last thing I want to ask you about this Maybach.
What's that?
Spectacle. This is what I want to ask you. Where do you put Floyd Mayweather in terms of greatest boxers ever? Is he in the top five?
I don't even think Floyd Mayweather's in the top five, no.
Is he in the top 10?
Possibly.
Possibly in the top 10.
Yes.
Okay.
So, possibly.
And who has the greatest boxing record of all time? I guess now it's Floyd Mayweather. Is that correct? 50-0?
Well, Julio Cesar Chavez went 87-0 before he ever lost a fight.
Is that true? But he didn't retire undefeated. Did he retire?
87-0 before he had his first loss.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm just saying. But Floyd Mayweather.
87.
Okay, I heard you the first time. Floyd Mayweather is one of the greatest, though, of all time when you talk about records, right? He retired undefeated. This is my question to you. When you look down 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, you look back at this Maymack fight, and you look at the scorecards, will it say or will it not say that an amateur boxer in his first professional fight won rounds against a top 10 all-time guy? Will it say that or not?
Yeah, it will say that.
It will say that.
And it'll also say what Oscar De La Hoya said, farce.
No.
Yes, farce. It will.
There's nothing farcical about $130 million between two fighters.
You can talk about the money all you want. You can talk about
what
the record
I tell
all you.
You. What did I tell you day, on this show? I told the, you they would be the highest grossing fight of all time.
But it wasn't. Pacquiao fight is still the highest grossing fight.
In terms of overall dollars grossed?
Yes.
In terms of the gate, pay-per-view, and
the
stream?
The gate was $72 million on Pacquiao. It was $55 on this one.
No. I heard it broke
55.
The record.
55.
Floyd Mayweather himself said it.
Look
Floyd
it up. Mayweather you got your phone himself. Right there.
Well, I'm
it
streaming.
Was 55.
Yeah.
It was
I,
not.
No,
the
I,
record
I heard it
still
got toward
72
80.
Million. Now, they
I,
did,
I think
they did get over 4,000, I think. Well, that's what they're saying. I don't even think they got it all tallied up yet. They did say it's supposed to be over 4 million pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
Pacquiao was 4.7.
Well, the number Dana White said was 6 million.
Dana White and I've been saying that before the fight was even made. Before they even fought, they said that.
Hey, well, I'm telling you, from the parties involved.
You know how many people was in the building?
How many?
14,000.
Yeah. Well, I know
you know how many people was in the Pacquiao building?
How many?
17 or 18.
Okay. Well, tickets were much cheaper.
No.
They were cheaper than
this one. The highest tickets in the world when he fought Pacquiao.
At the time. Then, Maymack came around, tickets were even more expensive.
They were about the same.
Now, they were more expensive.
They were actually about the same. 3,500 and up. They were about the same.
Well, I heard some guys, like WWE star Enzo Amore, put 10 grand to sit close to the floor on a ticket.
Well, I guess one is made every day. It's the only thing I can say.
You're saying he's a sucker and he
well,
got
I'm
licked?
Just saying, I guess one is made every day that wants to see fights and pay $10,000 for it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not
but
saying anything about it.
I think it'll grow down. As this, you know, because you know, before the fight, you said Floyd Mayweather's most entertaining fight ever was against the Big Show.
Yes.
I think this surpassed that.
No.
Yes. This is his most entertaining
what?
Fight ever.
Go back and look. Ralph, get in here. I want you to pull this up right now. Did you see
I watched it. I watched it.
And you
I
think this
back.
Was better?
This was better.
Now I know you're crazy. I have nothing else to discuss with you. Floyd Mayweather's number one fight ever, as far as entertainment go, is the Big Show. Ever. And that's every match, every promo, anything he ever did. I'm telling you, look, I'm getting goosebumps. It was that good. It was that good.
It was a good fight.
Oh,
it was,
man,
a good work. That was a work.
Of course, like this.
This was a fight that was super entertaining. Boxing ring. No, okay, go back. Go back to the boxing ring. No, has he ever had a more entertaining fight in a boxing ring?
This was a fight that was superimposed. That's what it was. That's what it was.
It was Photoshop.
Yes.
Has Floyd Mayweather ever had a more entertaining fight inside of a boxing ring?
No, I have. Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I have to give it to you on that.
All right.
I have to give it to you on that.
Yeah.
But like I said, I knew it was going to be this. This is what I've been telling people.
But didn't you say, though, it wasn't even going to be entertaining? Didn't you say it was going to be a joke?
I said it wouldn't be if Floyd Mayweather came out and did what he really can do.
Okay.
That's what I said.
That's fair.
But like Ronnie then was saying, no, he will have to take it a little longer because of so much money involved. Then I had to see what they were talking about.
When did you think the fight was going to end? Did you think round 10 was going to be it? Or did you think before then?
After the first round, you could see what was up. Have you ever seen Floyd Mayweather throw 12 punches in 3 rounds?
I can't say that I have, but I can also, to retort
against
that.
Against a guy that never moves his head?
I've never seen Floyd Mayweather fight an MMA fighter. So, I mean, you know, that's a different
variable.
What
is an MMA fighter doing in a boxing ring that a boxer doesn't do? Other than throw punches.
I'm saying the stylistically.
He had no defense.
Have you ever seen a boxer fight like Conor McGregor?
Yeah, and they all get knocked out. Because you don't move your head. Your feet are too far apart.
No.
Your jab is lazy. He didn't step on one punch. These are things you probably don't understand because you never threw a punch in your life. He never stepped on one punch.
Yeah, he didn't put his shoulder into it. I understand.
No, I'm talking about his body.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why Floyd never moved his head. Because when you are boxing someone like that, even in training, you're used to it. A boxer's used to that kind of stuff. Every day when you're throwing a punch and don't step on it. I've seen my boy. Now, my boy,
Ronnie Shields
is
going to
call in a few minutes. And I've seen Jermell Charlo, the guy that he trains,
yes,
knock guys down with a jab because he puts his whole body into that jab.
He's also trained for years, and a lot of that is muscle memory. He didn't even think about having to
brother,
do it. Conor McGregor had, what, 2.5 months?
Which actually submits my point. If you don't know how to throw a punch, you're not going to hit a guy that's used to getting hit. You're not going to, even if he lets you hit him.
What do you think he would have looked like? What do you think
if
they
were? With his size.
So
did you see how big he was?
Yes. With Triple G and Canelo, they announced it a year in advance. You remember that? If they would have announced this fight a year in advance and given Conor a full 12 months, what do you think would have happened? I know it wouldn't have, the result would have been the same, but do you think a knockout in the technical knockout in the 10th round?
No, because Floyd Mayweather, he doesn't have anything to lose. But how many times? Listen to the narrative of what he kept saying. I'm going to knock him out because I want the fans. I'm here to entertain the fans. And, you know, I owe them for the Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, well, but he was right about that, though. He was right about that.
I wanted to entertain. Have you ever heard him say that about a boxer, though?
No.
Okay.
And he wasn't fighting a boxer.
No,
he was fighting an MMA fighter.
Have you ever heard him say, I'm going to knock a boxer out and do all these things to him?
No.
Oh, you know why?
Because it wasn't in his game plan.
Because he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Come to a real boxer and you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You got to fight your fight. Which Floyd fight in every fight is to move, not get hit, stick, move, hold. That's what he does.
I know, and I don't disagree.
Every fight
he
ever had.
I don't disagree with you. But at the end of the day, Conor McGregor got rounds on one of the best fighters ever, top 10 in your opinion, and he got rounds. And he landed more punches than 9 of Floyd's last competitors.
He landed more. All those punches together didn't feel like the punch he got hit with Madonna with.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing.
The man got nothing on his face.
I'm not disagreeing with you. But when you look at the facts and you look at the stats, it's going to say 111
punches.
No,
because I knew what I was looking at. I'm looking at a man letting him. It's like you playing with your girlfriend on the couch. That's what that's like. It's like you playing with your girlfriend. Oh, honey, that hurt. That's what that was. Oh, you hit me too hard on that one. That's what that was. I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at it on a live stream. Me and my buddy were talking on the phone. My buddy, Joe.
Yeah.
And we're like, are you watching this, man? And I'm like, pretty entertaining, though. You're like, yeah, you really got to say it's pretty entertaining. But I said, but you still got to remember, Floyd has worked in the WWE before. you can't forget
well,
that.
Just like every great boxer, Floyd Mayweather picked up stuff from professional wrestling. Like every great boxer ever.
Conor, too.
Yeah, Conor as well. Well, Conor, for sure.
The buildup was great. I mean, this whole thing, to sell it to people and make people believe it, this whole thing was amazing.
And I'll never refute that. And honestly, I think it was good for the sport of boxing.
I think it was good for entertainment. Boxing ain't never going nowhere.
Yeah, boxing has its highs and lows.
Not because of boxing. It's because our people promote boxing. Well,
true, but also you have to gauge fan interest in these fighters.
Right.
And I think that De La Hoya and Mayweather Promotions are helping revive the sport of boxing in this sense.
Let me tell you something.
By putting two marquee fights that even casual fans are interested in, back-to-back within a month of each other, I think that's good for the sport.
Well, first of all, Mayweather and him got nothing to do with this fight coming up.
No, I know. I'm saying the fight they put on with Conor and then this fight.
To be honest, Mayweather and them put their fight at the point of what it was on purpose to try to go between the one fight was who was that?
Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and and Canelo.
And this fight
and Canelo, Triple
that's
G.
coming up.
Yeah.
And try to hurt their sales. Which I don't think that's cool.
Well, I don't think that's cool if that was their intention.
No, listen to this. If they had this fight in November and nothing else going on and these other two big mega fights had gotten out the way, they would have got more mileage out of it and they would have got more promotion out of it because it would have been promoted for a longer period of time.
Yeah, and, you know, there wouldn't have been maybe a Miguel Cotto fight at the same time.
Right,
and, you
know, but that was booked already. But be that as it may, Miguel's on his way out. And even that fight was sold out where they were.
Yeah, it was a sold-out house. It looked great.
But the thing about boxing is this. And I tell everybody this. Ever since Floyd Mayweather is gone, we've had nothing but top guys fighting each other. As long as they have that, boxing ain't going nowhere. It goes up. So what I'm saying is this. Floyd Mayweather is out the way, we got great fighting.
Yeah, but promoters and boxers alike are not always going to want
to
fight the top guys.
But they're working with each other now. Okay.
For how long is that going to last?
If you look at
when these guys start having, when these guys start actually getting hit and knocked out, and these big stars like Canelo Alvarez going to get knocked out Saturday.
This is the thing. A lot of people and a lot of fans that really don't know boxing, they think boxing is predicated on undefeated records. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's predicated on competition.
Just like the UFC is what people want to see. Yeah.
Competition.
Yeah.
That is what's good in
competition, though, with names they know.
Well, the thing is, you don't get to know nobody unless you fight a somebody.
I agree.
That's in any, even in pro wrestling.
I agree.
You don't become a somebody until you get in the ring with the somebody.
Somebody
other than
you
that, you're down on the card. Once you get in the ring with a Hulk Hogan, or once you get in the ring with a whoever.
The Macho Man.
Now you are somebody that we can push to. It's the same in boxing. That's why when you had Kell Brook fight the kid out of DeSoto, Texas, Errol Spence, those are top guys. Number one in both categories, welterweight. That's why when you had Keith One-Time Thurman against Danny Garcia, everybody wanted to see that. That was the highest rated television show when they had that fight. I can't remember what.
I think it was on NBC, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that, you know. And then the Triple G fight against Danny Jacobs.
Yeah, great
fight. That went through the roof. Yeah. What I'm saying is look at what's going on in boxing. And these are promoters working with each other because they need this. They need each other to make money.
They do. They need
And they're trying to do it. And then in the midst of that, this comes up. A cross between pro wrestling, MMA, boxing, and kickboxing and everything else. But it was entertaining. I won't take that away from it.
And I think it helps. It helps the sport because I think boxing is actually taking a play from the UFC playbook. I mean, that's what they're doing. Yeah. That's why they're working together and putting top guys.
But they were doing that before this fight.
It's like, right now, the UFC, as far as combat fight promotions go, is like Amazon.com, right? It's the top dog. And then all these boxing promotions, respectfully, are like HSN and QVC.
That's true.
And that's why they made a merger because they're like, we need to compete.
That's true. Be that as it may, because of the cable stations and all that stuff that's involved now.
Agreed.
Everybody got contracts with everybody.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, as long as top guy, that is what's wrong with boxing. What was wrong with boxing? It's top guys not fighting each other.
Because they didn't
want to. You got your promoter over here and I got my promoter over here. You're protecting your interests over here. I'm protecting my interests over here. And I can understand that. But for them to get back up, and I have to give credit to Al Heyman by putting these fights on CBS and putting these fights on NBC
and free TV and ESPN, and wherever else.
Well, that's our top rank on
that's
ESPN.
Top rank. But either way.
But you see the deal. You see what's happening. That's the only thing going to bring it back. The casual watcher does not want to pay for anything anymore. The casual watcher wants to just look at stuff. And they can look at UFC stuff all week long on Fox Sports 1 every night.
Yeah.
They can look at pro wrestling every night.
Yeah,
so
5 days
what
a week,
boxing
yeah.
has lost, what boxing has lost was the entertainment part of it. Not the competition part, the entertainment part. Nobody's entertainment anymore. So now, once you build that up, then boom, everybody's betting on the next pay-per-view and to make all the money. Well, it's more ways to make money out there now.
Yeah.
You know, to get sponsors involved in it again. Everybody, you know, only two guys have really made a lot of money in the last 10 years, and that's Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Them yeah. the only two guys that made
serious money.
But yeah. look how long it took them to get in position to make that kind of money.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather was 30 years old when he fought Oscar De La Hoya. That's the fight that put him over.
Yep. Put him on the map.
So I'm just saying, he never, no pay-per-views draw before that.
Yeah.
None. They might have, I don't know, 200,000, stuff
Floyd.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know, fighting. Yeah. I mean, but you were nobody.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying, it took a long time, and they had to come up with the money thing, another thing taken from pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And to promote
Go
it that
pretty,
way.
From pretty boy to yeah. Floyd Money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the part of boxing that people don't get in boxing anymore, the personalities. All that you have to go back to people that want to be entertained.
Yeah, which is why Muhammad Ali will always be regarded yes. as the greatest, because he did everything. He yeah. entertained you, and he performed in the ring at a very, very high level.
Right.
I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard, another guy who right. would entertain you and be able to pull it off in the ring. Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know, I mean, he wasn't even much in a promo, but when he said something, man, you're like.
But win or lose, you're like, I got to watch this.
I got to watch this guy, because he had that magnetic personality. Right. And I think, though, that's what boxing's missed for a long time.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, and that's why Floyd Mayweather's been the draw that he is, because think about it. If he didn't have personality, who would want to see, aside from, you know, just boxing purists, mm-hmm. a guy avoid getting hit?
Right.
No one want to see that, but
well,
he has that persona
well,
of
thing is
you
this
want
too.
Him to see him lose. Yeah.
Another thing with Floyd Mayweather, they always put him against Hispanic fighters.
Yeah, on Cinco de Mayo.
Well, people go, oh, man, Floyd can really talk. He can really talk the game. Yeah, but he's talking the game because a guy can't speak English. How hard is that? You know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that's what the money pool is, though. The Hispanic fighters, where the money pool is.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and that's why
like
you fight them on Cinco de Mayo.
It was still brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's Al Haymon is a ex-concert promoter. You got to have angles to sell concerts. This man probably done studied everything. He's Harvard educated. He probably studied every form of entertainment and put that whole thing together.
Well, you know, it's just controversy in any kind of entertainment medium and in any kind of story going into something.
Hey, wait a minute.
Are we ready?
I think we got Ronnie Shields on the line. Ronnie Shields, are you out there?
I've been out here, man. Waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I was looking at the phone and over there, that speaker over there, turn him up, the white speaker. Turn him up. We're going to turn you up here in a minute, brother. I'm sorry about that, but I'm going round and round with Brad Gilmore, and he's made me miss a couple of things that I wanted to talk about today. Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Ronnie, I've just been going round and round with Brad Gilmore about the Mayweather. Please educate this man on what happened that night on the Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight. Please. Now, I want you to say some of the things you were saying to me when Ronnie Shields on the phone, who is a world-class boxing trainer,
no
who
problem.
Is also a world-class boxer.
Yes.
So not only can he teach a man how to knock somebody out, he has knocked many people out. And I want you to say some of the things you were saying to me and trying to bring up things that doesn't even make sense to any sane human being. But I'm going to let you please educate this man on the ins and out of the boxing, what goes on in the ring. Please, Ronnie, you got the floor.
Well, you know, on the Conor McGregor fight, you got to understand that Floyd is one of the most experienced fighters in the world. He knew exactly the way the fight was going to happen. That's why he predicted the 10 rounds. He predicted that because he realized that Conor hasn't been in a ring with anybody before.
Exactly.
Such as himself, you know, with the experience and everything that it takes for him to win. So, you know, but you got to understand that, you know, he let Conor blow his wad.
Right.
And, you know, look, here's the thing you got to understand. When you're a real professional boxer, you understand the stress level that it takes when you're going in front of millions and millions of people that's watching
they
you.
They can't hear it on Facebook.
And here's the stress level. No matter how how much experience he's had in MMA, it's so different than in the boxing world. So this is all new to him.
Right.
You know, when you walk in out that dressing room, when you walk in out that dressing room and you see all these people, oh, my God, then you think about all the people that's watching you, and then the stress level comes up so high, you know, then you'll be like, oh, my God, you know, now you're in all in. You know, so what he did the first couple of rounds was let Conor just throw punches just to see what he got. Once he found out Conor had nothing, then that's when you start seeing him put the pressure on him, start hitting him in the body, start just pot shotting him with right hand. And he waited until the 10th. He could have got him out earlier, but he just waited until the 10th round. But he actually started hitting him at the end of the 9th round. He started just pot shotting him with right hand. And Conor didn't know what to do. He couldn't do anything. And the referee actually saved Conor.
Yes, saved him from the I told Brad that they had a helicopter on top of the building. I told Brad that they had two ambulances in the back just in case one the battery went dead and they really had to get him to a trauma ward, you know, something like that. But he doesn't want to believe me. He actually believed Conor McGregor was actually winning that fight.
Wait,
I haven't finished.
Don't put words in
my mouth. I haven't finished talking to my man.
Okay.
Why don't you wait for me to
finish,
I will give you the floor. Okay. And first I have to explain to him some of the most, you know, I know off-kilter things this man has ever came out of any man's mouth. Ronnie, let me ask you this, Ronnie. Did you see the man's punches? When you watch his boxing prowess, what did you say to yourself? This man doesn't know how to box. Why is his feet so far apart? Why is he not stepping on a jab? What happened to this big-time knockout power that everybody was talking about? Dana White with his bald head talking about, oh, when you put two people in the ring together, anything can happen.
Well,
no,
is facts.
Anything cannot happen when a novice is going against a world-class individual. Ronnie, will you please educate this man on that? Please, Ronnie.
Well, I understand something, man. You know, you got to understand that Conor McGregor, he had a UFC trainer.
I know that.
In a boxing match. So what does he know about stepping in behind the jab? What do you know?
I don't know. That's what Brad is saying. Don't tell me.
I didn't say that he was the greatest boxer of all time.
Yeah, you
Stevie,
did.
Right?
You said what I said. You said that this man landed more punches than the last three fighters that fought.
Last nine fighters. So that's true. I'm just saying facts, Ronnie. Ronnie, all I'm saying is
that
facts.
That means he's a top fighter. He's a top boxer in the boxing business.
I said as far as star power goes, right now, he's a top three guy. As far as star power goes, if he were to have another boxing match,
him and Engelbert Humperdinck, who are you putting him against? Yeah, what?
Engelbert Humperdinck?
Yeah.
What does he have to do with it?
Yeah, I'm just saying, star
he's a great
power.
Canadian.
Star power.
Don't talk about the great Canadian Engelbert Humperdinck.
Ronnie, go ahead and finish your synopsis, please. And don't interrupt him anymore.
I think you have to understand that Conor McGregor definitely don't belong in the boxing ring. You know, no balance, no nothing. Floyd agreed to go down to 8-ounce gloves. You got to understand, why would he go down to 8-ounce gloves? You know what I understand? You know.
I don't know. Explain that to us, Ronnie. Why would he go down to 8-ounce gloves?
Well,
I heard Skip Bayless say, he's going down to 8-ounce gloves. He's really going to be able to hurt. Conor is the baddest man on the planet. Man, the dude looked like a fifth grader, man.
You saw it. He had no balance, no nothing.
You hear that?
You don't have balance. That means you don't have power. His foot was his feet was way spread too far, too wide, you know, to hurt anybody. That's the reason Floyd did it. That's the reason he did that. Otherwise, he would have never gone down. If he'd have been fighting a professional boxer, trust me, it would have been 10-ounce gloves. He realized that.
Right.
Conor had it was nowhere in the world Conor could hurt him. And, you know, if you saw it, he wasn't even worried about it.
I saw
it. I will say the 8-ounce gloves was also just another selling point for the people who maybe
I know that.
Have not already
but
bought into the fight.
But if it had been 10-ounce, he would have blew up in four rounds.
Them what would have happened gloves, if it was four rounds?
Those 10-ounce gloves would have felt like, have you ever seen the cartoon Popeye yeah. when his two of his fists turned into anvils? That's what those gloves would have felt like in about four rounds.
Yeah.
His arms would have been like right beside him, and he would have been getting blasted. Go ahead. Talk to Ronnie. Tell him all that stuff you were saying earlier.
Stevie, I was just stating facts all
no,
earlier.
No.
What did I say?
Tell him about all your admiration you got for this. Go ahead and tell him.
No,
about
all
this
said,
great boxer.
Let me ask Ronnie Shields a question. Mr. Shields, where would you say Floyd Mayweather ranks as far as great all-time boxers? Is he in the top 10?
Yes, he is in the top 10.
He's in the top 10. So, when you look back in history, the scorecards will show that a guy who was an 0-0 fighter went 10 rounds with a top 10 all-time fighter and won rounds against him and landed more punches than nine of the last 12 of his opponents.
So that gives the guy that you're talking about credibility as a boxer, right?
I don't know if it gives him credibility as a
boxer.
Yes, it will give him credibility.
Which means Floyd Mayweather, after all these fights, is a fake, a phony, and every fight he ever had was fake, right? It had to be. If this one was real, all the rest was fake, right?
No, if this one is real like it was, all the rest are real and legitimate, except for the
Big
Show fight.
So you're calling Ronnie Shields a liar.
No, Ronnie Shields is not a liar.
No.
Ronnie Shields is stating facts.
That's what you just said.
Stevie Ray is manipulating the truth.
You said Ronnie Shields does not know anything about
boxing. Is this show called Straight Shooting or Fake News?
Yeah, Straight Shooting. You said Ronnie Shields does not know anybody.
I never said that.
You didn't have to say it. You didn't have to say it. You just told Ronnie that everything he just came up here and elocuted right in your face that just gave you permission to come back and say Conor McGregor is the best fighter Floyd Mayweather ever fought.
I never said that.
Because he is a top 10 fighter. That's what you said.
No, I'm saying this gives Conor credibility because I say, and when you look at the history
books. Well, wait a minute.
Hold on, Stevie. When you look at the history books, he landed rounds.
It doesn't give Conor any credibility.
It gives Conor, in my opinion, it does.
You hear this, Ronnie? You hear this?
Yeah, I understand. It doesn't give Conor any credibility. You know why? Everybody know. You saw the fight, man.
No, he didn't know what he was looking at, Ronnie.
I saw the fight.
He didn't know what he was looking at.
Wait a minute, man.
Conor
McGregor fought a hell of a fight. For a guy with no skills. I said, Ronnie, he didn't have any skills.
Something to see.
I understand that, Ronnie. But when you look at the fight, 10 years from now, Conor McGregor won rounds.
5 months from now, and Ronnie will see it.
When you look at this fight 10 years from now, people will look at it exactly the way they looked at Floyd Mayweather and the Big Show. It's the same thing. It is pro wrestling 101.
Floyd Mayweather the what?
And the Big Show.
The Big Show.
Yeah.
Man, Conor McGregor came out, took some good punches, landed, like he said,
113
times. He hit this man 113 times, Ronnie.
You know, Ronnie, I was having a very good conversation with you for a second there. You were really educating us on real boxing, really giving us the education until Ralph Cooper had to come in here and mess the whole thing up.
Skip Bayless told us it was a great fight. I agree with Skip.
Skip Bayless should be thrown out of a second story window. As far as I'm concerned, you know.
Now, I never went to the extremes of a Skip Bayless.
No, you didn't. I have to give you that. But hey, man, this is what I really wanted to call in about. Angel is not here today, okay?
I was missing Angel, man.
You know, he had an emergency, but he had a lot of questions for you. But this is the deal. Why we had to get you on tonight. Okay. The fight between Triple G and the fight between Canelo Alvarez is taking place this weekend. Now, the last time we talked, you said Canelo Alvarez was going to lose to Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I want to know who you got in this fight, and I want to know why. And then I'm going to give you my pick. And this time, Ronnie, your credibility is already very thin right now. Your credibility is already very thin on the last two picks that you did that I had to really circumvent my knowledge.
That's Ronnie Shields. You're saying Ronnie Shields has as much credibility in boxing as Conor McGregor. That's what you just said.
Ronnie, how many world champions have you trained? Ronnie, how many world champs? Just give him that number, Ronnie.
About 25.
25. That's 25. The man's got credibility, Stevie, right? And I happen to agree with him. Canelo's going to get KO'd.
You can't put down your guests like this.
You got to give your guests some respect.
You need to take another Jimmy Kimmel course.
No. This is... Brad, you stay out of this, okay?
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
This is between me and Mr. Shields.
I'm done.
Who has been trying to educate me on boxing, but old Ray Dog knows a couple of things himself. Of course, I'm not as successful in the ring as Ronnie. No, and I'm never going to say that.
Ray Dog, this is my last comment. This man, hopefully. You pulled this man and put him, he came out of the bullpen to help you.
Yes.
Now you're going to shut him up. He can't talk to Ronnie Shields.
Yeah, after I pitched a near perfect game.
Oh,
ridiculous.
My God. You see what I got to go through, dog?
So I'm gonna tell you.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. I've lost my train of thought now. Okay, Ronnie, you know. Ronnie is the one that told me Daniel Jacobs was going to get knocked out in 5 rounds. Ronnie Shields told me that, and guess what happened?
What happened?
He should have won that fight, or it should have been a draw. That's just my opinion. Yeah, I called Ronnie. I text Ronnie the night of the fight. Guess what he says?
What did he say?
Well, it doesn't matter. He still won the fight. Okay.
That's facts, though.
No, that ain't no facts. He said the man was going to get knocked out in 5 rounds.
Hey, well, so okay. His prediction was off, but the guy still
won. Let me tell you what I said.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I said.
What did you say?
You got to listen to Ray Dog, dog. It don't just end right there. You got to listen to Ray Dog. This is what I told him. Mr. Expert, Mr. Trainer, 25 world champions. I don't know how many belts he held himself. He fought top guys, and I won't take that away from him. The man is the real deal. But you know what I said?
What?
Because of my vast experience of watching boxing.
What'd you say?
And I'm looking at champions for what they really are. I said the flaws of Triple G are going to be exposed. The flaws will be exposed by Daniel Jacobs. We will see the non-head movement. We will see the Eastern European style that they take to the Olympics that doesn't really work against that slick style. That's what I told him. Didn't I tell you that? And then when he got in the ring, he got exposed. And now he wants to say, well, he still won the fight anyway.
Thanks.
But that's not what he said. That's not what he predicted. Okay, let's go to the second one. He said, Julio Cesar Chavez, a lot of people are not picking him, but I'm picking him. A guy who didn't come to fight. The guy, somebody wired the guy or texted him and said the money was in the bank and that's all he was worrying about. Getting out of this ring and go get the money.
I got to agree with you on that one.
And he picked him. Okay? These are not. I'm not making this up. Stevie Ray can't make this up.
Hey, sometimes people are wrong, Stevie. He's more right than he is wrong.
I don't know about that because we got another one.
I think so.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When his fighters are fighting. Yeah.
A great record.
Of course. Yeah. When his fighters are fighting, that's true. But not when we're picking them. Oh, Ray Dog is on top, and he knows it. And what was the third one? What was the third one, Ronnie?
I'll tell you what it was.
This is what he said.
I was right.
No, you wasn't. This is what he said. Listen to me, Brad, and then I'm going to let him speak. No. Keith One Time Thurman.
Over Danny Garcia.
Against Danny Garcia. That's you know who he picked?
Who did he pick?
He picked Danny Garcia.
No, I didn't. I picked.
Yeah, you did. Oh, man. Somebody call
Talk
Angel.
Running.
Somebody call Angel.
Nah. I picked Danny Garcia.
You know what he said?
What?
You know, Danny Garcia's got a good left hook. Danny Garcia.
He's just going to get it landed.
And you know what I said?
What did he say?
I said Keith One Thurman coming going to try to knock this sucker's head off.
You said he was going
to
knock him out.
I said, well, I was hoping. But I knew he was going to knock him. If he hadn't ran.
Oh, but wait a minute. Well, are you going to say, but he still won the fight, though?
No, I knew he was going to. I don't think I picked a knockout. I think he's just saying that. I can't remember exactly. But if Angel was here, he would remember. Okay, that's 3 fights. You got the floor now. Give us your analogy on this Triple G fight with Canelo Alvarez. Give it to us.
Okay. Early on, it's going to be a good fight early on. When I say early, I mean like the first 6 rounds. It's going to be give and take the first 6 rounds. About 10 rounds, Triple G will knock him out.
Round 10 knockout, Triple G.
That's what he said?
That's what he said.
Round 10.
Triple G, 10th round.
Round 10.
I agree.
I'm picking Canelo Alvarez. I'm picking Canelo Alvarez because of the flaws that I have pointed out in the Danny Jacobs fight.
The only flaw that he has is a flawless record is Triple G.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 This is the deal, Ronnie. This is the deal, Ronnie.
Understand that.
This is the deal, okay? After this fight, if Triple G wins, I'm going to take you and your wife out to dinner, okay?
Bet.
And that little pooch of yours that you're always carrying around. Okay? If my man Canelo Alvarez wins, you're going to take me and Angel out to dinner.
What about me?
Okay.
Now you ain't in this.
Triple G to lose.
Okay, and Ralph too.
I'm picking Canelo. I'm going with the Mexican. I'm going with the Mexican.
You're not going with the Soviet?
What? I'm going with the Mexican. I see he's going, like Potato Pie would say, he's going to that chitlin bucket, Ronnie. He's going to the chitlin bucket. He knows what I'm talking about. He knows what Potato Pie says.
I know what Potato Pie
says. He's going to the chitlin bucket.
Right.
Okay, Ronnie.
Right.
Okay, you got Nate. Brad, you heard it.
I heard it.
That's a bet.
Ralph, you heard it.
I just want to go to dinner with y'all. When y'all go to dinner, just let me come out to your own tab.
And you're going to take me right here to Papado's, right here on 16.
I don't eat at Papado's.
Yeah.
I don't eat at Papado's. Well,
then you ain't going then. Then
stay
at home.
To go to Papado's?
Then stay at home and stay out of it.
Why do I have to go to Papado's?
He'll take you to Popeye's Chicken on the way.
Popeye's Chicken. He'll drop
you off at Popeye's Chicken on the way and get you a 3-piece and a biscuit.
No.
How about
that? That's still pretty good.
Steakhouse. What you want to take me?
Hey, Ronnie.
Go to Tony's. Spend some money.
You know, that you can drop, you can run it. Ronnie got a pickup. You can get in the back of it while we all sitting there. And you drop out, jump over the tailgate. And Popeye, we come back up and pick you up on the way home. Come back, pick you up on the way home.
Chicken. I'm eating French's chicken.
French's, huh?
Yeah, that's what he eats.
Like Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, man.
I take that bet.
Everybody has heard what Ronnie had to say. Everybody heard it. This is the fourth time. This is the fourth go-round. And guess what?
Walk it down.
He picked against Canelo last time. Why? No sane man could ever figure that out. Okay? I'm just saying. Ronnie Shields, I'm just saying. His credibility is on the line.
Ronnie, put him in the ring with your Charlotte fight. Let him hit Stevie Ray one time.
I say against both Charlotte twins.
Yeah, both.
Stevie against both of them at the same time.
And why y'all want me to get in the ring?
If you're such an expert pugilist.
Yeah.
You're beating the man's trainer up, 25 world champions, and you're treating him like
no.
Put on the gloves.
I put him over. I put all his accomplishments over.
Okay.
I put all his accomplishments.
You know, I'm just like a wrestler.
You
have a wrestler's mentality. Y'all will turn on you. Who taught you that, Paul Boy?
I ain't turning on him. I'm just saying the man's credibility is in question. That's all I'm saying. I've told him that before. Man. This guy's a world-class trainer. I seen him out there pushing guys around, taking the guy, grabbing the guy, throw him on the seat, throw him on the stool. Now stop that. You hear me? I said go out there and jab.
I want you to move. Let that right hand go.
Yeah,
you
know
right
what I'm saying.
Let it go. Let that right hand.
In a minute, his left hook.
Another word.
He's going to start using left hooks in a minute. I want you to straighten him out.
Stay ready. Let that blank right hand go.
Don't you give up ground. Don't you give up ground like that. You don't back up. I'm like, damn, man, look at that. The dude's scared to fight now, man. What's
There's a reason
on?
He's got 25 world champions.
Well, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Brad.
Yeah. Brad, I agree. I'm not taking nothing away from the man. I just said I saw him doing his dim. I've seen him. No, I'm not.
That's what it was. Train boxes.
We already got a thing set up, and I'm going down to do some training with Ronnie.
Oh, you gonna try to come back?
No. Yeah. Well, I got some training. Training set up. That's all I'm saying.
Call Don King and get it set up where you fight the Klitschko brothers.
Why you want to put me with Don King?
Why not?
I can go with Al Haymon.
Well, go with Al Haymon. Oh, that's better.
You know, I go with Al. Why you want to put me with that crook Don King?
You know how to deal with
the
crooks.
The man is a crook.
You've been dealing with crooks.
The man's a crooked crook.
I say you've been.
That's who Ronnie used to fight for. That's why he got into training.
I say crooked crooks.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good one.
That's why he got into training right now. I don't know how much money Don King owes running right now.
Running.
Don, how much money
put
do
him
you
on, put him on the tour, probably a million, two or three, four, five, 10 million. But you can get on a tour with the Klitschko brothers and what's the one, Tyson Fury? And you can talk, you can really blow that one up. You call him a druggie and everything
else. I would beat Tyson into a kinetic fit.
I know. I say Stevie Ray versus Conor McGregor.
I'll stomp his head in. I'll stomp him in his big nose.
The bad thing about it is he would take that fight knowing he's outweighing the man by 100 plus pounds.
You're right. If they can steal money, so can I. If they can pull an Al Capone, so can I. What's the difference? Ronnie, hey, brother. Ronnie, I appreciate you. I'm going to be looking at the fight this weekend as well as you. And doesn't your boy got a fight coming up here in a minute? Charlo?
No, he's waiting on a winner, Triple G and Canelo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, Ronnie, now I see the angle. I'm not going to say nothing else. Brad, you see the angle? Okay. You dig?
What's the angle?
You see what I'm saying? You dig?
You're saying he's picking who he wants to fight for Charlo.
I ain't saying nothing.
That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying anything.
I hear it.
I'm not saying nothing.
What happens?
I forgot about that. He had told me about that. I forgot about it.
If he wins, what happens? If Triple G
His boy's waiting in the ring. He gets the winner.
He gets the winner?
Yeah.
Oh, he wants the Mexican.
Yeah.
We want to see him against the Mexican.
Yeah.
Can you fight him? Mexico, we bring the fight here to Houston?
Hey.
Mexico against Texas?
Well, he should have been picking him. He didn't pick him.
Well, it may happen.
It may happen.
Yeah.
It may happen. I hope it happens like that. And then Ronnie can come to Houston and fight. We can do it right there in the Toyota Center. You know?
Yeah.
Then we can go down.
Or down to Minute Maid Park.
Yeah. We can get our press tickets and go down and really watch him. Yeah. Really watch him in action.
Watch him in action.
Yeah.
Ronnie, how did you come out during the hurricane? All right? You and your family?
Okay, my great, man. My family, we didn't have any flooding. We got lucky. You know, everything was great, man.
Okay, I'm glad. I thought about you during that period. I'm glad everything worked out well for you.
Yeah, well, Ronnie, brother, we appreciate you coming on the show. We got to call it a night. Great show tonight. Hey, give it up for the world-class trainer I'm really questioning his credibility, Mr. Ronnie Shields, because now I really know the real angle. Thanks for enlightening us, brother. I think you let the cat out of the bag, but that's all good, brother. We're going to talk to you next week after this fight. Be ready to call back next week after this
absolutely.
Fight.
You would, if you had been.
Absolutely.
All right, Ronnie. We'll holler at you later.
If this was the late Georgie Benton. You'd have been fighting up in here.
Cool. I'll fight Georgie.
Back in the day.
Brad, you got any parting words?
I just want to say everyone who's listening, because I know there's a worldwide show. If you're in Los Angeles, Booker T, your brother and I will be out there next weekend on the 24th after No Mercy for a benefit show for hurricane relief. It's
Booker T,
Kurt Angle, Gold Dust,
right.
Corey Graves, Rob Van Dam, more guests. Come out Lucky Strike live in Los Angeles.
No Amber
there
Rose.
There you have it right there.
No Amber Rose and one of the Kardashian ladies?
No.
Why not?
But we're trying to have a nice show. We're trying to have a good, nice show, and we don't want any ingrates around. How about that? All right?
Man,
hey.
And then Reality Wrestling this Saturday. It's a free show.
It's your show, and I produce the show tonight. And see, this is what I know. This is what I've expected to get from you.
And what was that?
Just what I got.
What did you get?
A punishment. You know, nothing. No thanks or nothing. But I don't want a thanks from you.
I haven't even gave him a parting
words
yet.
I don't want a thanks from you.
I haven't even gave him a parting words.
Give your parting words, Stevie Ray.
I'm trying to. You know, we want to congratulate Wild for coming in and really doing what he did, which was nothing. But we appreciate that, you know.
That's what I'm talking about.
You turned the dial on and you left. We haven't seen you since you came back 1 hour later.
I heard the whole show
up front.
But if
you think that's really doing something great, brother, do it every week.
You didn't need me in the whole time.
I know I didn't.
Because I would have taken the show.
Because you had things to do. But, Ralph, I really appreciate you doing what you did tonight.
That's all right,
you
know what I'm saying? What's your nickname?
They call
Road Dog.
For Ralph Cooper.
Bulldog.
For my main man, Brad Gilmore. They call me Stevie Ray, and I am out.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?